Well, this is probably another one of those unusual things that the Lord does. I'm just wondering that as we grow and grow, if I'm going to get some kind of title like the animal preacher or something like that. So the title for the teaching this morning is The Turtle and the Scorpion. Now, I've had this little thing for many years, and I was just kind of thinking the other day, this popped up again. Now, I have to tell you, talk about confirmation. As I looked out the window this morning, actually I just went outside and to feed the feral cats that we have, you never guess what's walking across the driveway, a turtle. So that to me is divine confirmation. Oh, there we go. Okay, we don't want the scorpions though, but we'll take the turtles indeed. Well, let me tell you the story of the turtle and the scorpion. There's a turtle, he's in a river, and he's kind of swimming around, and he looks over to the bank, and there's a scorpion sat on the bank. And so he kind of swims over and says hello, and the scorpion says hi. And the scorpion says, "Do you think you could let me ride on your back and you take me over the other side of the river?" And the turtle says, "No." And the scorpion says, "Why?" "Because you're a scorpion." He says, "You'll sting me and I'll die." And the scorpion said, "Well, why would I do that? Because if I sting you, I'd drown as well." And the turtle thought about this for a moment. He thought, "Well, that's pretty logical. So, okay." So the scorpion climbs up on his back, and halfway across, the scorpion stings the turtle. And the turtle says to him, "Why did you do that?" He said, "We're both going to die now." And the scorpion said, "Because I'm a scorpion." The story about the turtle and the scorpion is all about natural characters or natural character. Neither the scorpion or the turtle can change their character. They are what they are. And there's a similar old cliche that we've used time and time again. It's that the leopard cannot change its spots. Character change is virtually impossible in the natural world. You'll see later on, I can give you one example, but it's not a character change, but there is a change that goes on in the natural world, and I believe the Lord uses this as an example. But because it is virtually impossible to change your character in the natural world, we who were born into this world were born into that natural, which is the Adamic, if you like, sinful nature, and we were all born into that way, and it is just as impossible for us to change our nature as it is for the scorpion or the turtle to change theirs, or the leopard to change its spots. And we know that as sinners we cannot enter into heaven, and we certainly cannot enter into the presence of God. And we also know that if our nature stays the same, if we maintain that sinful nature, then we are destined to spend the rest of eternity in the other place. If we don't change it, that means that our nature is not acceptable to God, because he will not receive into his presence a sinful nature. And remember, that was one of the things that caused the ejection of Adam from the presence of God, his sinful nature. Of course, the sin and the disobedience, but that sinful nature really, it was one of the things that stopped him coming back in. Okay, because sin was not allowed to go back into the presence of God. There's a whole teaching on that which you know, but that's one of the basics of it, that the Lord just will not have sinful nature in his presence, certainly not in heaven. And one dictionary example defines nature like this: the nature of something is its basic quality or character. The nature of something is its basic quality or character. And the second definition that I have here is someone's nature is their character, which they show by the way they behave. Okay, your character comes out in the way that you behave. When we're born again, we are reborn with a new basic nature that is sin-free, with the basic quality and character of God. And like any new baby, which is what you are, I don't care whether you're 100 years old, when you're born again, you are a baby Christian. This character, this nature, develops over time. And we grow in that nature and we grow in that character. But once again, we have been given back, or what Jesus did is return us to the position where we have the opportunity of actually entering back into God's presence. We can enter the kingdom and have that ultimate joy of spending eternity with him, not being in the other place. Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 3? And this is where the promise is given. This is one of those, if you will do, I will do. And this, of course, is our Lord speaking. It's read in my Bible, so we know that it's him speaking. So it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And now move on to, that's the promise that he gives you. That it's almost a reverse promise where if you don't, you can't. If you do, you will. Move on this time to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 5. And this is where we're going to have the confirmation that the character has changed. Character and nature are very closely related. They're not quite the same. But here, this is showing where character has changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it's funny how these two scriptures kind of roll together, although they're in different books of the Bible. And it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, just to expand on that a little bit. The old nature is gone, i.e. old things are passed away. The old nature is gone. A new creature or new creation has been born. Okay? I know this is simple, basic stuff, but it's important we get these things under our belts, because what comes from these basics, the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s of being a Christian, is what we are going to expand on. That's the expansion of the nature and the character. The new nature is now in place. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? So, what is this new character? What are these new things that we've been given here? Well, before we look at that, I want to go back into the book of John, please. Look at another scripture. This is John chapter 3 and verse 6. And I want to take a little bit of time going over this, because it can be, you can think this to be complicated when it really, really isn't. So, John chapter 3, verse 16. 6, sorry. 6. I was about to say this is leading up to John 16. John 3, 6. And it says, again, this is our Lord speaking, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The interpretation here is that the flesh partakes of the nature of the parent. Okay, flesh born of flesh. So in other words, as the parents are, so is the child. So if the parents are corrupt and sinful, so will their descendants be. Unless there is a change, a character change. And as the parents are wholly corrupt by nature, from the Adamic sort of gift, I suppose, so their children will be the same. We are the children. We can take our lineage back to Adam. So therefore, our natural nature is sinful. And the word here, flesh, actually means corrupt, defiled, or sinful. It's a very, very strong word in the Hebrew language. And a lot of times the word flesh in Scripture is often used to denote sinful propensities, which is the natural tendencies and passions of our nature. And those propensities, if you like, or the natural tendencies, are supposed to have their seat in the animal nature, which is the basic nature. Okay, now keep your finger there in John 3:6, but turn with me now to Galatians 5:19. This is where it starts to get a little bit uncomfortable for those who are in the flesh still. Okay, so Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And this is showing the basic animal nature of the sinful man. And it says, The works of the flesh are manifest, which means come to the fore, come to light, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's the basic animal nature of the sinful man. Keep your finger in John, but now move on, please, or move backwards in the Bible to the book of Job this time. The book of Job 14 and 4. So you're seeing this both in, you will see this both in the Old and the New Testament. And each of these two scriptures reconfirm our inability to change things for ourselves. Okay, we cannot do it. Just like the scorpion, just like the turtle, we cannot do this. Job 14 and 4 says, Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Nobody can do it. No human being can change their nature. If you go back to John, He continues by saying, and that which is born of the Spirit, which means of the Spirit of God, or if you like, by the agency of the Holy Spirit, is spirit, is spiritual, like the Spirit, that is holy, pure, and godlike. That's the character change, from the nasty to the pure. And it's here in these scriptures that what we're actually learning, or what you can learn from them, is that all men by nature are sinful, because we are originally from the seed of Adam. None are renewed, cannot be born again, but by the Spirit of God. Because if man did the works himself, the nature of the person trying to do the changing is exactly the same, so that no change would take place. It cannot take place. The human being would still remain carnal and impure. The effect of the new birth is to make men holy. No man can have the evidence of being born again who is not holy. Okay, there is no evidence other than the fact of by their fruits ye shall know them. Okay, if you're not born again, it will show, at least eventually. The character comes out eventually. I don't know how many of you have had friends or people, acquaintances, that you think, you know, they're just really, really nice people, and then somewhere down the line something happens and the true nature comes out. Two of the things that bring out these natures most times are alcohol and drugs. Somebody that gets stoned out of their brains, their real nature comes out, and somebody that gets, as we used to say in England, drunk as a skunk, never understood that, but who gets drunk to the point where they have no control, they lose control, then the real stuff starts to come out. The evidence of somebody that is born again is exactly the same. The spirit, the holiness will come out. The character will come out, okay? Galatians 5:19 says, and we're going to go further into this again, and I'm getting you to flip around here, but this, I love the way that the Lord knits things together and expands and explains them. We're going to start off again by going over that 5:19 again, but we're going to run all the way through this time. So Galatians 5, beginning at verse 19, says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, we've just seen this, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and here we go, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past times, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going. You have to change. And now it moves on in verse 22, to the evidence of the new creature. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Gone. It's gone. Taken away. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is the case of, if you are reborn again, live that way. Don't drop back into the old ways. Don't allow the world to drag you back in there, because the devil wants nothing more than to drag a Christian down. Okay? He's already got a lot of the world, and this is a message that we will put out there to those that don't know. If you are born again, we will get you born again. That's the primary message and the primary function, focus of this ministry. As Pastor Elizabeth has told us before, it's the primary function, it's salvation. We must do that. But now we go on to the second phase, is teaching people how to stay a Christian, not going back, because the world is out there. The world's not going to change until the Lord comes back. So maintaining that is very, very important. Otherwise, you ain't going. And he says here, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It means exactly what it says there. Be glad that your brother or your sister is born again. If they know more about the Lord, be glad of it. If they know less of you, help them to learn more. If they're not walking straight, go hold their hand and walk with them. Put your arm around their shoulder. Do everything that the Lord would do. Really, what would Jesus do? That's your role now. And as we're also of the Spirit, going back into Ephesians this time, You and I can do the same. There's no difference here. We shine our lights wherever we go. But please go back into the book of Ephesians this time, chapter 5 and verse 9. This is kind of like second confirmation, more confirmation of the nature. This is Paul. He's saying basically that since the Holy Spirit through the gospel produces goodness, righteousness, and truth, Paul is telling the Ephesians here to exhibit that in their lives. Now, to exhibit something, you shine it out, okay? And thus show that they are the children of light. Now, what he actually says here in verse 9 is, for the fruit of the Spirit, the production, what comes from that, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay, that's a very broad, encompassing statement, but there isn't much more that you can say than that. You can get into a lot more detail of all these different sort of headings if you want, but it is very concise and precise in what he's saying here. So, like I said, we are of the Spirit, we can do the same to and for others. And as we become born again, these fruits that he's talking about here begin to develop. And as we mature in our walk, as these fruits not only become more and more evident, they become more and more powerful. Okay, the light begins to burn more brightly. There's more fuel. You turn up the rheostat, increase electricity. We have rheostats on these lights here. We can turn them down. We can turn them up too. And what he's saying is turn them up. And what these fruits do is they become a witness of the new creature that we are. Creature, okay. Creature or creator is the Lord, but we have the ability to show the Creator through our being a creature of His. So, let me ask you a question. Why do you think it is that so many creatures are drawn to the light? Why does the Lord talk about the light within us? And why are creatures drawn to that light? It's because they're drawn to it because they want to be in the light. Who likes being in the darkness? Only those that are hiding something. John chapter 8, please, this time. John chapter 8, verse 12. We've gone over this whole idea once before, and I'm going to do it again because I want you to begin to understand just who you are. You're not just people. You're not just Christians. You are creatures of light. John 8 and 12, please. Again, it's our Lord Jesus speaking here. And the scripture says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. Life, life, life. Matthew chapter 5, please. Beginning at verse 14. Remember, this is your Bible. These are your words that the Lord God Almighty has given to you. Your Bible contains your words from Him. He's talking to you through this book. This book belongs to you. The words belong to you. And what it says about you belongs to you. And it is you. He starts off here by saying, ye, you, are the light of the world. You. Amen. Because you are followers of His. And he goes on to give you the example. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It's way out there. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house, all that are in the presence of light. And if you are carrying the light, all those that are in your presence can see the light, as long as you don't cover it up or blow it out. Here he's saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are the light of the world. Please understand, you are the messenger. You are the one carrying the torch in the household that you are within, whether you're at work, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're outside somewhere, you. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Well, verse 22. And then I'm going to give you some homework to do. I'm going to simplify this for you. And I would ask you please to read this and study this in a lot more detail. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And he's given here the fruits of the Spirit. I'm just going to run through them, okay? Love. It means love towards God and to human beings, all human beings. The nasty ones, the dirty ones, the ones that are rolled in the mud, the ones that are crying, the ones that are laughing, the ones that are happy, all human beings. Working where I do, we get a whole bunch of different people coming in. Some of them are dressed in torn t-shirts, some of them are dressed in collar and tie. They're still human beings. And we have to love them and treat them all the same. And to be honest with you, some of them don't always smell nice. Some of them always smell really, really nice. They are human beings. We have to love them regardless. Joy. Joy in the love of God. And the joy that love and being able to love, being loved, and loving the way that God loves. Unconditional. Boy, that can be hard at times, but we are a work in progress. But there's such joy when you can love somebody, when you can do something for somebody out of love, out of your natural character, and they turn around and say, you know what, thank you. Nobody else has ever done this for me. Nobody else has ever shown this for me. Nobody else has ever considered me in this way before. And there's such joy in that. Such joy in that. Peace. We have the peace now because we've been reconciled to God. We can have the peace knowing where we're going to go. Long suffering. This is one of those bite your tongue phrases. Putting up with it. Putting up with the idiosyncrasies of others, the annoyances of other people. If you can step back and suffer it, in other words, you put up with it, that's what God does. You think about it, since he first created man, how many, let's say hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, he's had to put up with us. But he didn't give up on us. He never gives up on us. He never gives up on any human being, neither should we. As my sweet lady can tell you a story of a man who was particularly rude to her and spat in your face, didn't he not? And you should have seen what she did to him. If I'd have been that guy, I'd have been in absolute fear. You should have seen what my wife did to that guy. You know what she did to him? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I know she prayed for him. That's the kind of character that I want to become. And she already is. And she is a great teacher in that. We've all done it. We've all been able to step back. Sometimes we've stepped back in fear, but now you can step back in confidence that no matter what, your job is to love that person. If you have the wherewithal and can develop that point where you say to that person, you know what? I still love you. I love you in the Lord. And that won't change. That'll change them. It'll give that conviction to them. It may have them following you down the street. And again, Elizabeth's got many stories of somebody coming up to her and saying, why did you do that? I don't know why, but I've got to talk to you. No, I'm not a Christian, but I want to talk to you. And that's the person being drawn to the light or coming back to the light. Gentleness, obvious. It disposes us to make all of those around us happy. As happy as possible. Gentle with them. If you're going to crack the whip all the time, people will back off. If you hold your arms out and be gentle with people, they will come to the light. They will come and get that hug from the Lord. Goodness is simply that a Christian must be a good person. You have to be a good person. Because if you're a pig, and I use that word very strongly, people won't want to know you. Or if they do, they're the wrong kind, and that's not the message that we should be giving out. That's not our nature now anymore. And faith. The Christian is a faithful person. You're faithful as a neighbor, as a friend, as a father, a husband, a son. Faithful in your contracts, your agreements. When you promise to do something, you do it. When you say, I'll be there at 9 o'clock, you'll be there at 5 till. And if something happens that you can't get there on time, you are faithful enough and honest enough and loving enough to ring that person and say, I'm sorry, I'm running late. You're faithful in your promises, all promises. Don't make a commitment unless you are fully prepared to back it up at your cost. No matter what, you keep it. Elizabeth has taught me so much about this. It's not an off-handed thing. Yeah, well, I'll be there around about 5 o'clock or something like that. If you're going to make that commitment, be there. Do it. If I promise you something, I am going to do it. If I can't do it, I should not be promising you that at all. Because the Lord keeps his promises and he expects you to keep yours. Character, nature, our character, our nature is keeping those promises. You expect him to do things for you, then he has the right to turn around and say, well, I expect the same of you. You have my nature now, so don't give me any excuses. Keep it. And if something goes wrong, then he's so graceful and merciful for you to be able to say to him, look, Lord, I messed up. I am so sorry. The crime is when you do it again. So you endeavor not to do it again. Lesson learned. Okay. I'm going to give you a little task. This is your homework now. Just over the next few weeks, I want you to start observing more closely things that happen around you. When you're in an empty restaurant, or a restaurant that hasn't got a lot of people seated there, see how many are seated there when you leave. Does a stranger come up to you? Has a stranger come up to you? I know most of us have heard this. And start telling you their life story, never having met them before, or very, maybe a nodding acquaintance. Did you begin to gain unusual favor in things? And I mean unusual favor. Start making a note of these things that happen. And seeing that as you now are becoming more conscious, and you have no excuse now because you've been made conscious of who you are, how much more joy and happiness starts to come into your days. How you start enjoying going to work when you look at it in a different light. How you enjoy people. How you enjoy just the world. How many times have you ever actually grabbed a blade of grass and looked at it and thought what it took for that blade of grass to come into being? Have you ever looked at an animal, like a cat for instance, or a dog, and looked at the hairs on its back, even the hairs on your own arms, what it took for that to come into creation? You begin to see what a wonderful God that we have and what wonderful creation he's made out there. You start to become conscious. I'm not talking about being a tree hugger. Trees are beautiful and they're an amazing thing, but I'm not telling you to go out and kiss them, but appreciate them. Know what they are. They are there for a reason, to give you joy, to give you pleasure, and sometimes for food, sometimes for shelter, sometimes for food, for fuel rather, to keep you warm. They are there, okay? Sometimes, like Elizabeth said the other day, just for your pleasure. Just for your pleasure. See the beautiful flowers. Well, why did he create that? For you. I promise you now, not only will people be drawn to you, but when you stop and think about what has happened throughout your day, you'll begin to see the blessings that you've been given. Pretty flowers. And the blessings that others have given to you. It will happen. It does happen, and it has happened. But I want you to start taking note of it now, because this is what is giving you the evidence of how important you are, how blessed you are, okay, and how unique you are in the Lord, but he still gives to each and every one of us. What it means, the net result of this, is that others will be drawn to the light that shines within and through you. Matthew chapter 7, please. We're going to look at verses 18 and 20. Matthew 7, verses 18 and 20. And this is the allowance that God has given you here. He's given you a tolerance here. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 18 to begin with. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Ye must be born again to bring out the fruits of God. Okay? It's saying you cannot bring forth evil fruit. If there is an evil fruit that is beginning to try and come through to you, you will knock it on its head. You will put it out of you. And if something comes out, then you will repent of it and you will ask for forgiveness of it straight away. But that fruit, that evil fruit, will die very quickly. So I encourage you, if you mess up, very quickly say, Lord, I'm sorry, I apologize, I retract that, or I won't do that. Whatever it is, you make amends to it and you repent of it and don't do it again. Verse 20 says, And here it is. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Okay, he's talking here in Scripture. This actually Scripture has a twofold meaning. And what he's saying is, he's talking about recognizing the truth in others, but it also says that they will recognize the truth in you. He's actually talking about the scribes and Pharisees here, but it's the same principle. I don't care who you are, you have fruits, and those things will come out of you, and people will see them. Elizabeth is very, very disciplined and very strict about how we act in public. And, you know, we mess around. We've got a great relationship and that we're able to joke around with one another. But there are certain things that you just don't do out there. Okay, I will always treat her with respect. And if I've ever, you know, jumped across the line, believe me, she has disciplined me. And that's not a nagging wife. That's somebody who loves me. That's my pastor who's saying, you know what? You maybe want to think about not doing that. And showing people that it's not appropriate. It's not the right thing to do. And learn by it. Because there are protocols that we have to stand by. But when we are elevating ourselves, and each and every one of you were told, have been given the opportunity, come up higher. And if you're coming up higher, that refinement, that cleanliness within you has to be more refined as well. You know, you can't be an amazing messenger for God and be a drunkard. You cannot be an amazing messenger for the Lord God Almighty and be doing drugs or sinning in any way, shape or form. No grey areas. Can be tough at times, but no grey areas. Ye are the light of the world, and you don't want a dull bulb. Others will see the truth in you. They will, and they already are. People know you as a good person. So, going back to the scorpion, just think about, aren't we so blessed that we've been able to have our character changed? In closing, I want to give you an example of a change that comes about that I believe is one of God's ways of illustrating the results of change. This is a life cycle, but the result of it, I think, is where we can kind of identify with the end product of this. The butterfly, it begins its life as an egg, grows into a larvae, which eventually turns into a chrysalis. I don't know whether you've ever seen a butterfly larvae or a chrysalis. They're pretty ugly looking creatures. Not something that you would kind of stop and look at unless you're interested in that kind of nature type of thing, but not something you would go out of your way to see. I certainly wouldn't want that crawling over my hands, or I wouldn't be kissing it or anything like that, but when the butterfly emerges, it truly becomes a new creature. It is kind of a new creation, although it's come from the same thing. It becomes something that is beautiful, something that people will stop and look at, something that you will allow to light on your hand. My daughter Tracy, when she came here on vacation, we took her to the aquarium, wasn't it? And they have a butterfly room there. And that girl was just dotty about butterflies. Of course, the butterflies in the States are much, much bigger than the butterflies in England. I mean, you could almost get a full meal out of one of these. But they're huge, and she just loved it. And she was sat in the back garden, and one lighted on her hand, and that was it. She's just loving this and just all over it. And so we know what to send her for Christmas. Some butterfly larvae. If you ever have any trouble understanding what changes happen in you and what a beautiful nature you've been given, just think about that butterfly. Look in the mirror and think, you know what, I'm a butterfly. I'm so beautiful. And it's not arrogance, it's not self-idolatry. Thank you, Lord, for making me who I am. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And when people are blessed and things like that happen, they're going to be drawn to you. And I want you to know that when that is happening, what is actually happening in that circumstance, in that house that you are in, is that your light is shining through. You are blessed, and you are being a blessing. But the option is, you can hide it too. When you let your light shine, and when you let your new, true character come out, guess what you're being? You're being a witness. Witness to the change that's possible. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us the opportunity through our blessed Savior Jesus to become born again, to retain the original character that you wanted for us, that we can now have it. And above all these things, Lord, that we are going to be able to walk into your presence and spend time with you, just as the original Adam did before the fall, that he walked in the garden with you. Lord, we all desire that, and the degree of that desire will come more and more to the fore. We are the light of the world, Lord, because you've given us that opportunity. Help us to fuel ourselves. Help us to shine brightly in every circumstance. Help us to treat others as you would have them treated. Help us to give the gift that you've given us to others and to bring them to the Lord. We thank you for all the things that you do for us each and every day, Lord. The things you've done, the things you're doing, and the things you're going to do. Thank you so much for being my God. And thank you so much for being and giving us our life. In Jesus' name, amen.